Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
For the amazing creative team, you can take your seat. That'll be great. Well, today we're going to talk about circumcision. So, I'm not joking. You know that it's a message from God when you're getting dressed in the morning and he speaks to you and circumcision comes to mind. You don't think of that normally on your own. It's going to be great. We're in a theme this month and next month called This Is Us. And so I was going to talk about prayer today. I made that big announcement last week. I made it twice last week. But we're going to hold that till February. And I've got so much just to put into that message, so that's going to be great. So you can't miss a Sunday ever, just in case. I might move it again, just in case. Keep you on your toes. But this month, we're just going to look at serving. We're going to look at inside the church, serving each other, community inside the church. And we love this subject, don't we, as a church? We talk about this all the time. And so we're going to look at that this Sunday. This is us, who we are, City Point. As Christians, people that believe in Jesus Christ, this is us as people. And then in February, we're going to look at the disciplines. So like prayer, fasting, things like that, which would be great. And also, you know, like you might be a Christian for a long time, but you don't really we might not see prayer in the same light, or we might not see the purpose of fasting in the same light. So it's always good to hear people's opinions. It's always good to hear the word of God and to be able to put this together and get more understanding, more angles on different things like disciplines such as prayer and fasting in the Bible as well. So I'm looking forward to February. I'm looking forward to today talking about circumcision. It's going to be great. But I'm gonna start with the scripture. You're going to see how my brain works a little bit this morning. So I always say to Mel, I do everything backwards in my brain. So generally when I talk, if you ever have a deep conversation with me, you have to wait to the end to know where I'm actually going. And I start from the end, work backwards. And so my brain works backwards. So anyway, the first scripture that we have today is Romans 2:25. If you want to follow along, you can do so on the screens or the New King James Version. But good luck with that. And I'm gonna sort of say this in verse chunks. The reason why is Paul is he has written to the Roman church, and in this particular passage of scripture here, he's in every verse is either a statement or a question in verse size chunks. So I'm gonna sort of emphasize as I read. Verse 25 says, "For circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. But if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision." Great. "Therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision?" Question. Next question. "And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you who, even with your written code and circumcision, are transgressor of the law?" And then statement, "For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision that is of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from man, but God." Wow. Interesting. Yeah, wow. What on earth are we talking about? Apart from circumcision. It's great. Yeah, the book of Romans was written around 58 AD. And so this is after the Roman Emperor Claudius kicked the Jews out of Rome. So you can study that if you want to. And that happened around 49 AD. And if you read the book of Acts, what have we got? Chapter 18, verse 2, you actually can see the history there in what Paul is saying. And so before Claudius kicked them out, there is evidence of Jewish synagogues in Rome, as the Romans accepted the Jews in Rome to follow their religious traditions. So when Paul wrote this letter, Christian Jews and Christian Gentiles were gathering again in Rome. Now, these were released slaves, okay? So they are starting. So if you could just imagine, Claudius kicked the Jews out, and then slaves happen, slaves come back. These are Jewish slaves. The synagogues are starting to happen again. But while the Jews were out, the Gentiles, the name of Jesus is getting preached through the apostles and the word's going around, and Gentiles are starting to believe. And then the Jews come back, and now you have Gentiles and Jews in church going, how on earth does this work? Now, in the Jewish world, there is all the laws. We've heard of the laws, and the laws are evidenced through circumcision. Okay, so here you have the Jews in the church that are circumcised, and therefore they believe that they're in the right standing before God. But then you have Gentile Christians who also are believing in Jesus, and but they're uncircumcised. And so you've got this massive tension going on between Jew and Gentile. And so this is what Paul is writing about. And a lot of the epistles are talking about circumcision. And often you'll read through and you just, what's all this about? And it sort of doesn't apply, but really it does apply. And so this is what we're going to look at a little bit today. Trying to find the commonality with Christ while observing different beliefs and traditions. That is what was going on in that day. So today's scripture sheds a bit of light on the core and fundamental differences in the belief systems of the Gentiles and the Jewish Christians that held each other at bay. In the church, this was happening. Now, these differences held them at bay with the acceptance of Jesus Christ. So as we know that the Jews didn't see Jesus Christ as the Messiah, but the Gentiles were starting to learn about Jesus Christ as a Messiah. And so you have and then Paul's going around, who was the most devout Jew ever. I mean, all of Israel and all of the surrounding land knew who Saul of Tarsus was. And we know in the Bible that later Saul changed his name to Paul. God did not do that. Saul changed his name to Paul so that he could relate to the Gentile world more. Now, it was quite common back then to have two names. So that's nothing in the Bible, Saul changed his name to Paul. But everyone knew who Paul was. He was a devout, passionate Jew, but he encountered Jesus Christ. Who knows that when you encounter Jesus Christ, he doesn't just change your day, he changes your whole life, amen? And so here's Paul, or Saul, who is now Paul, and he has had this massive revelation that the Messiah of the Jews is Jesus Christ. And the name and the revelation of Jesus is now flooded the whole land all the way up to Rome. And you now have Gentiles, which is people like you and me, uncircumcised, now accepting salvation and redemption because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Isn't that good news? You can receive Jesus without being circumcised. Fellas, that is good news right there, I tell you. So they held differences and they held each other at bay with acceptance. To the Jews, Paul is showing that Jesus supersedes the effects of the law, in which their circumcision is proof of their obedience to the law. To the Gentile, Paul is showing that circumcision holds its intended value as the Jews have always understood. And to both groups, that circumcision of the flesh is no longer required, but rather circumcision of the heart. That's what Jesus does. Jesus brings circumcision of the heart. In other words, like the Jews, he's requiring obedience of faith from us today, which is great. I love that. So this is obtained. This circumcision now of the heart is obtained through faith. And that's what the scriptures teach us when you pull your scriptures apart, that it's faith that brings us now the circumcision. It's circumcision of our spirit man. It's circumcision of our flesh man before God in obedience as we give our life to Jesus Christ in faith. Faith is Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ is now the circumcision. Faith is the new circumcision. That's what I'm trying to say. Great. I'm trying to be trendy with my words, but just move on. So the Jews are still trying to achieve through their works, and the Gentiles haven't been able to obtain because they have been outsiders.
You're going to see where I'm going here with today's theme. So here's just a healthy question for us. From this understanding for us today, I want to ask a healthy question of you and I. Are there times in our life in which we look for the evidence of circumcision in other people in order to accept them? Are there times in our life that we are looking for people's works, good behaviors, to smell nice, to look nice, to behave well, to have our same value set? In other words, we are expecting them to be circumcised. And we are looking at them, and because of this, we are holding them at bay. Because to the Jews, that's exactly the same. See, something you may not understand is a Jew is a Jew. They're born a Jew. We are Australians. If you were born in Australia, you're an Australian. You can't change that. But a Gentile could become a Jew. They would have to be circumcised, and then they would have to obey the laws perfectly, as a Jew would. And then once you become a Jew, you can't unbecome a Jew because you are circumcised. You're circumcised. That's it. It's all done. Dusted. As Christians, we have received the grace of God in our lives. And through our faith, we have received our redemption. But we look for something from the world, and we try and put them in this category that we now live in. And because they don't fit into that category, we cast them aside. I feel like I'll go a little bit deeper and bring a bit of reality to this? Okay. Perhaps you rock up to church, City Point North, every now and then, and you drive past the op shop on the Morayfield Road, and you see all the clothes as a mess all over the car park. Now, sometimes you might not see that because our serve team every Sunday picks it up. Can we put our hands together for the serve team? Amazing serve team. So you might not even know that this happens. But we come and people have been sleeping in front of our op shop. There's tents there sometimes, there's rubbish, there's baby stuff. Sometimes it goes out into the car park. So do we look at those people and shake our heads, disgusted in who they are, and then walk into church as a redeemed Gentile? And really, because they're not fitting our category or our value set or our standards of life, we are struggling to accept them into what God has given us, the redemption that He gave us. Church, we are Gentiles. We aren't Jews. In other words, we are no different to them. We just have been shed the grace and accepted that grace of God and placed our faith, and He has taken us from better to better, from glory to glory. He has changed us and molded us, but we are all still on the journey. For many people sitting in this room today, we were exactly like that. Not too long ago, there are people in this very church who once were like that, but have been transformed by the power and the love of God. So do we ever forget those days? Let me just break this. Can I just break it down just a little bit more real for us as the church, okay? Do we come to church some Sundays and see fellow brothers and sisters that might even be sitting next to you today, if you just want to go a little bit like that, they might be sitting next to you today. Maybe you shouldn't. And we hold them to a standard of our values. We hold them to the standard of how we think that they should live. We have progressed so far, but they haven't in the last 2 years. So we're holding our fellow brothers and sisters at bay. And this is pushing their faith away. They are looking at us as the church, as Christians, and not feeling the receiving, the love and the fellowship that they should receive. And we have received through Jesus Christ. But we aren't showing that to our own brothers and sisters because of our standards, because of our values in our own world. This is exactly what Paul was preaching to the church then, And this is what Paul is preaching to us today here at City Point North. So back then it just looked different. It was Jew and Gentile, circumcision, not circumcision. Today it's standards and values and all this sort of stuff. And we are holding people in our world at bay. I admit that I often catch myself at the door of judgment. I have often, even just this morning, which was just so fitting, I laughed to myself, had a little grey giggle, which isn't much, it's kind of silent really, but it's inside. I had a grey giggle. And I came to church and I was the first one here today. So you have to be here pretty early to get here before me today. And I walked in and I opened the gates, hopped out of my car. Whoa! What? There was a guy right there sleeping in front of the salvos on the chair. And I walked up and first of all, I was shocked. You know, there's a guy there. The gate was locked, you know, so it shocked me. And then I felt judgment come over me. Like, what on earth are you doing sleeping in front of the church? And then I felt grace and God reminded me and I said, hey, bro, how are you going this morning? Did you have a great night last night? Yeah, man, just ignored me. And then I walked into church and I just went, isn't that so fitting? The day that I'm preaching on this. But sometimes I stand at that door. One side of the door is the redemption and the grace that God showed me. And I choose to stand in that doorway and I look at people before they walk through that door and just cast my judgment. I don't think they should be worthy to come through the door. And Jesus went, Graham, I flung that door wide open. That's how you can come in. You didn't open that door. I did that. Wow. You didn't shed grace to all mankind. Jesus did that. And so this is what Paul is saying. Jews, you aren't the only ones that can come into the kingdom of God. I died for all of humanity. I died for all of mankind. I died for the person who doesn't believe in religion. I died for the person who doesn't have your values. I died for the person who denies me. I died for the person that's the worst sinner you could possibly. I died for the one with the worst past that we would ever look at and we would just cast them aside. But Jesus said, I died for them. So why do you stand at that door? Wow. Why do you stand at the door, Graham, of judgment? Wow. Doesn't that bring you to your knees sometimes? Wow. Calling them Gentile when I myself am a Gentile. You know, the same Jesus circumcised my heart because of my faith. Jesus that circumcised your heart because of your faith. He's the same Jesus that can circumcise the heart of our community. He's the same Jesus that has circumcised your brother and sister in this room today. So my question today, or my statement and hope, would be, would we move from the doorway and make it a bit wider so more people can walk through? Would we come in and dance a little and enjoy what God has given us? Enjoy this grace. And would we enjoy it so much that we would portray it to other people? Would we enjoy the grace and the love and the goodness of God so much that we, our hearts are filled to overflowing? And if you do ever walk to that door, it's because it's overflowing and you want to walk out of that door and bring them back in. But we can't because of the goodness of God is just so amazing in our world. Amen. Do you believe that today? The goodness of God in our lives. Romans 3:21-23 says this, but now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. I didn't even give you today's title. For all, did I?
Circumcision.
That wasn't the title. It's the title now. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Amen. All right, title. Our ministry of reconciliation. That's the title of today's message. Your ministry. Did you know that you have a ministry? How great is that? In other words, you have a badge. You are a minister. How good is that? Often people look to the platform. They're, oh, the ministers, you know. You are a minister. Jesus said that you are a minister to bring reconciliation into the world. We can't be the ministers of reconciliation and be the ministers of judgment at the same time. We can't have the two going on together. We are the ministers of reconciliation. Jesus is in the middle now. See, that's what happened when Jesus Christ came to planet Earth. He bridged the gap from Jew to Gentile. He bridged the gap. He said, although you have been my chosen people, the truth is that all mankind is chosen by God. And so Jesus came and he bridged that gap. I like that. Jesus creates the bridge where we struggle to accept people from out there coming in, for people from in here going out, and people from in here amongst others in here. Jesus bridges that gap for us. There is no longer a them and us in Christ. In Christ, there is no them and us. I tell you what, I had a massive mind shift many, many years ago now in this whole area. Even in my prayer, in the way I just thought, the way I spoke to people in general, not just church people, but people in general, I used to have a them and me and them sort of mentality, or a them and us mentality. And I didn't realize, but that actually crept into my life in church, in the church circles. And so what that actually is then is I'm starting to put levels, you know. So I'm a pretty good Christian, so I might sit at about number 8. But that person, you know what, they just swear all the time. So I'm going to put them around number 6. You know, I once had a friend in my world who was a leader. And he was a great leader, reputable size team. And then he swore at them all one day. So he just dropped down to a number 2 straight away. And so I didn't realize I was having all these judgment categories in my mind. And God challenged me one day. And he said, Graham, it's not you and them. There's none of that. Christ doesn't have me and you. Christ didn't say, I am perfect. Christ, what he actually did is he came and said, I'll serve you. He wasn't just serving Jew. He was serving Gentile. Not just circumcised, the uncircumcised. Not just the people that had it all together, but the sick people as well. The ones that no one would touch, no one would pray for. Jesus went there. The prostitutes as well. Jesus said, I will serve. He walked in and he sat down and had a conversation with a prostitute. I wonder if we could do that. I wonder if I could do that, you know, or if I would have to sit back and collect my thoughts a little bit and sort of move away from that door of judgment and come back into grace and go, God, I'm going to shed the same grace you've shed to me. I wonder if we could do that. So I had a paradigm shift in my world and it changed even the way I pray. I don't pray anymore on, you know, for God to bring people into the house. I don't pray, God, the unsaved people, I just pray for them today. I don't pray like that anymore because that's categorizing. I just pray, God, your children, would you bring them back home? You know what that means? That this actually is their home, so there's actually a place for them. It's already been prepared. Doesn't the Bible teach us that? So there's already a place prepared for other people. There's already a place prepared for your brother and sister in here. So as much as we're talking people coming out, I'm talking about having a receptive heart of grace towards each other. 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 20 says this. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. Listen, and he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors. Now then, you are an ambassador for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. I love the language. As though God was pleading through us, we implore you in Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. I love that. Having a new mindset, let's develop an inclusive mindset. for the people we like and the people we don't like. It's not about like and don't like. The people we understand and the people we don't understand. We are all called to this ministry of reconciliation. Amen. Amen. Jesus doesn't separate us. Jesus unites us. He brings commonality amongst us. That commonality is Jesus Christ. Not a commonality of wealth or status, but a commonality of our need of Christ and His grace for every single one of us. Listen, we all fall short. We all need Christ, and we are all being transformed daily into His image. Do you believe that in your life? We are all being transformed daily, sustained by His grace and His goodness. No matter who we are today, it's the same grace and it's the same goodness that comes from the one God. Amen? There is actually no divide anymore. Jesus has bridged that gap. Sure, they've got to put, or people have to put their faith in Jesus Christ. But it's not up to us to judge whether that faith has been applied or not. It's up to us to accept them for who they are and help them on their journey as Christians or believers or just on their journey of life, and let your life be a witness. We don't believe Jesus loves me more than them. Sunday church is for me and not for them. Listen, my life group is for people like me and not for them. Jesus has bridged that gap. In fact, as I was praying before the service today, I was just thinking, my mind was wandering on life groups, you know, and this is just how my thoughts go. I'm just letting you a little glimpse into the brain of Graham. But I was just kind of thinking, okay, we've got this new setup of life groups coming under demographics. And so what happens if someone sort of says, you know, I've only got one or two people for my life group? And then my response would simply be, well, get all your friends that aren't saved and bring them to your life group. Because there's no divide. If you run a life group in this place, your friends are your friends. Invite them to your world. Where a life group isn't just for church people. The church is not just for church people. Sundays are not just for church people. You want to know what breaks my heart? And I know the same for Mel and Pastor Rick, and I used to have these conversations all the time. If you want to break your pastor's heart, bring no one to church. The thing that breaks my heart the absolute most, I tell you what, I just go before God every week and just say, God, what are we doing as if no one gives their hearts to Jesus Christ on a Sunday? That breaks my heart the most. You cannot hurt me any more than that happening in my world. Because I look at this and I go, our friends are welcome here just like anyone is welcome here. And so if it's Sundays as well, what about your world? Do you have a divide with your God world and your secular world or your normal world, however you might view that? Do you have a divide? Because there is no such thing as that divide anymore. It's you and your life as a redeemed Christian, and they are all welcome part of your world. So I encourage you, if you're running a life group, you want to start a life group, you don't have to look for people in the church that don't have a life group, because you're going to struggle to find that in this church. Okay, invite your friends, invite your neighbors along, and just start doing life together and let God ooze out of who you are. So just in closing today, Paul was teaching the church back then and us today. Back then it was the Jewish law, circumcision, that was creating divide. But today it's status, it's religion, and personal values that are creating the divide in our world. Jesus bridges the gap, accepts us all, and we can do the same. You can do the same in your world. I know you can. I've been able to do it, and I know that God will strengthen you as well if you struggle in this area. But you can bridge that gap as well. Isn't it good how the love of God is just so pure? Isn't that just a great thought? The love of God is so pure. You know, when He says, I forgive, He actually forgives everything. There is not one sin a person could ever create that God can't and won't forgive. Isn't that great? The love of God is so pure. I love this. I love the idea that we are a church where any race, all people and categories, with any past, no matter if they are struggling with sexuality, religion, understanding God, or struggling with their hurts, whether they're poor in this community or whether they're rich in this community. We love and accept all people in City Point North. Amen. You believe that? And we will be unified together in this pursuit of bringing ourselves in unity with Jesus Christ, who himself accepts all people. Not because we have chosen, but because Jesus Christ chose already. Amen. You believe that? To receive this word today, let's give God a shout of praise. We have the ministry of reconciliation today. You are ministers of reconciliation. Amen. Don't worry about the keyboard. They'll sort it out soon. You know, maybe you're here today and you've just been listening to this message. And I'm just going to ask, church, could we all close our eyes here this morning? You know, maybe you've been listening to that and you just sort of like, you know what? I view myself as a them, as out there. I view myself as not a Christian or someone who hasn't accepted Jesus. I'm not even sure really if Jesus accepts me, but I'm telling you today that he does. He does. He loves you unconditionally. The truth is of the gospel is that no matter what you've ever done, no matter what you've ever thought, Jesus accepts you the way you are. Now, any Christian in this place, we know that he won't leave you the same, but he will very slowly take you on a journey to become the best you, the one that he created you to be. He can transform you and take the biggest mess of a life and turn it around to be the most sweetest smelling rose or the most beautiful person, the most wonderful person. That's what Jesus does through his love and through his grace for all of us. So you might be here today and you've just listened to this and you know, you've thought to yourself, you know what, I'd love to give my life to a God like this. I accept and I can see what Jesus has done in my world. So if that's you, every eye in this place is closed right now.